The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We the People Radio with your hosts Bob Martin and Elizabeth Woodward. We are streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us. You can call us at 530-605-4567. We are, like I said, streaming and chatting live. Go to wethepeopleradio.us. You will find everything about today's guest and links to every show that we've ever done. I encourage you to check out the webpage. All the information about every guest that we have each Sunday will be there for you to follow along. And we are under the umbrella of fiscal responsibility, limited government, in adherence to the Constitution. And heaven knows that that has definitely been challenged in the previous week. For anyone paying any attention, we know that all three tenets of what we believe in have been under fire and under the gun. Good morning.
Hello. Nothing like pulling up to your parking space and the music is playing. Sorry, kids. Okay.
Well, I know you have lots to do, so
I did,
you're a very important person. You're busy.
Ew. It's not good to be important. It's just this week was kind of special. Extra special.
But they all are.
I know. They're getting specialer. Hey, so my understanding is, I was driving along with half the story while you guys were here. Chris Ann's on the line.
She is on the line.
Right on. We better get to her right away because she has another commitment at 9.
Oh.
9, 10, 11, 12, or 12 in her world.
Okay. Are you
home now, Chris Ann?
No. I'm in Crescent City.
Hey. So how are all our folks in Crescent City?
Fired up and ready to go.
What?
I gave a 5-hour workshop yesterday.
Oh, right on. And that was for the sheriffs, right?
No, that was to the community.
Oh,
Monday
okay.
And Tuesday are for the sheriffs.
Okay, great deal. I saw Sheriff Wilson over here on Friday. I thought, man, that guy's circumnavigating the globe. I saw him last Saturday in Sacramento. I'm like, we're on the same little hamster wheel.
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't know he was all the way over there.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was in Sacramento on Saturday, and he was in Redding on Friday, and yeah, he's everywhere you want to be. Hey, so. Fire away. Let folks know what's going on, because there are a ton of people listening that actually have no idea. Well, they might have seen the promo or they might have been on the webpage, but give them a thumbnail sketch of how you started this whole process, because you were really just a mom and you were going to work and living a regular life and it all changed.
Yeah, just a regular mom, just doing my job, happy to do my job, happy to retire doing my job. I was a prosecutor for the state of Florida, and I left the prosecutor's office for 2 years to practice law with a constitutional law firm, and it happened to be the perfect timing. My son was born, and I was able to be a digital employee, so it was perfect. And then when my term at the not-for-profit was up, I went back to be a prosecutor, and the people in my community, this is right about the height of people wanting to become aware of constitutional issues and such, and so they wanted me to come and teach them on the Constitution, knowing that I had practiced constitutional law and that assuming I knew a little bit about it, and I started teaching first at our local Republican National our local Republican Executive Committee meeting, and now I live in a little rural town. We don't have too many people. I don't even think we even have 60,000 in our county. And the word got around, and I went to the public school and taught. I went to various Tea Party groups and taught. I even got an interview on our local radio show to talk about our attorney general's lawsuit against Obamacare. And then right after that, my boss at the prosecutor's office sent me an email telling me that I had to stop teaching the Constitution to right-wing fringe groups. And that believing and hanging out with people who believe in smaller government and fiscal responsibility was an ethical conflict for anyone who worked for the government.
Oh, my God. Isn't that the first thing they promised to do is uphold the Constitution?
Well, even as an attorney in the state of Florida, I think everywhere else, too, you take an oath twice. You take an oath to defend the Constitution when you pass the bar examination, and then you take an oath as a prosecutor, because in the state of Florida, you're a sworn law enforcement officer.
Oh.
And so we take an oath to support and defend the Constitution twice. But he is a was a liberal, a progressive. I imagine he still is. He's just not the state attorney anymore. And he didn't see that I was doing anything properly.
Interesting. And you had no recourse on that, obviously, because that was your boss.
No, actually we did. We sued and won.
And then,
because,
and then you left anyway?
Well, he fired me.
Mm. Oh.
He told me that I could... I told him that this was my First Amendment right. I wasn't doing it on business time. I wasn't talking about his office. I wasn't, you know, doing anything to undermine my job. And that he couldn't tell me to not speak. And he literally responded and said, that being said, you can... You can teach these things, or you can work for me. And so I told him, I said, I'm not going to stop speaking because you tell me to.
Yeah, no kidding.
Until he told me to clean out my office.
Wow. I mean, that's so blatant. He didn't even try to hide it.
No, he didn't. He didn't, which helped in the whole lawsuit thing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So you sort of took to the, did you take to the road right away, or?
No, not really. I tried to work, but it was very difficult. I mean, living in a small community is a double-edged sword, you know? Having stood up to the most powerful man in the community is a little bit of a momentum kill when you're looking for a job.
Oh, yeah.
And so I tried to work. I looked for jobs for the whole time, because see, The catch to this story is that my husband is the pastor of our church.
Ooh.
And at the time, it was a brand new church, so he was not receiving any salary. So my income was the only income in the home. And so we went from making my income to nothing overnight. And I had to, you know, try to find a job. And it ended up that I had to drive 90 miles one way to find a job. And I worked at that for, oh, I don't know, about 6 months. And in that 6 month time, we just started speaking more and more. I published my first book, and it became, you know, it just became impossible to do that drive every single day. And the next thing I knew, this is what I'm doing, traveling around the country and teaching, driving an hour and a half one way. To go to work every day was too much, but now I drive, on average, 6,000 miles a month.
Hey, Chrisanne, don't you think, I mean, especially given the fact that your husband is a pastor, that maybe God led you to this place? I mean, do you feel that you had divine intervention?
Absolutely. I would never deny that. I didn't start this. This was something that God put in my path, because it was not an easy decision to decide to give up the only income in the house to stand for, you know, the First Amendment, basically. And what I, at that time, didn't really realize the full ramifications of what I was doing. Because I really got educated on what I was doing along the way.
Sure.
I mean, I had fallen in love with Founding Fathers. Through two books, Founding Brothers by Joseph Ellis and 1776 by David McCullough. That's really started my whole journey into understanding the Founding Fathers. I didn't start this to understand the Constitution. I started this because I was intrigued by learning what the founders said and what they did. And by reading what they said and what they did, I started understanding that we're not anywhere near what they intended us to be. So when the time came to make the decision to actually, you know, give up the option of my job and stand for what they stood for, we prayed a lot about that. But God made it very, very clear to me that this was something that he wanted to do. You know, I was doing a study through Esther, and God spoke to me through that. He spoke to me through the parable of the talents, where it says that the master gives us a gift. There's going to be a day of reckoning, and we're going to have to be accountable for that gift. And I was learning through the study of the framers that liberty is a gift from God. And if I don't stand for that gift when he holds me accountable for that, I could be called a wicked and slothful servant. And so my husband and I just decided that we were going to stand with God and step out by faith.
You know, and I think sometimes we as everyday humans and citizens and people just trying to live a good life and fight the good fight, we forget that there is a much higher level of accountability in what we're doing and what we choose to do, especially if we're aware of what's happening and we have the opportunity to do something about it. I think that we forget we also have to be accountable to God.
Well, and that's part of, that is part of what I teach, is accountability. And this nation was built for all people. Even the founders of our religious liberty in this nation said we are building a nation whereas all could be equally free, Jews, Turks, pagans, and Christians. And so this nation is built on the premise of accountability. And the accountability is that liberty is not something that you purchase for yourself. Our framers said that they were doing what they did for ages and millions yet unborn. Liberty is a gift that you have to pay forward. Because if you don't do what you're supposed to do to maintain liberty in your time, it's not you who will suffer. It's your posterity who will suffer. Sam Adams said that if we tamely suffer a lawless attack on liberty, we encourage it. So sitting around and doing nothing about liberty is actually not sitting around doing nothing. It's pushing it along. You're the tugboat pushing the tyranny barge down the river.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And he said, we encourage it and we involve others in our doom. He said it's a serious thing to consider to understand that millions yet unborn will be the miserable sharers of our negligence.
Well, and given the level of understanding that you have for liberty and for the Constitution, for the history of the country, both on a practical level and a spiritual level, you must just cringe at some of the things that are happening right now.
You know, every day is just a positive affirmation to me that our framers knew exactly what they were talking about. And also the understanding, what I teach, that if we don't understand our history, we repeat the mistakes that our framers try to protect us from. See, there's a very popular quote that says, those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, you always repeat history, because there's nothing new under the sun. Human nature never changes. So we will always repeat history, but the value in understanding history is so because those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat its mistakes. And we have to learn from those mistakes unless we're going to repeat it.
Good point, because that is often misquoted. I have somebody on the chat room who wants to know if God is actually written into our Constitution. I don't know if he's talking about the word God or the concept of God.
Well,
feel free.
That's really sort of a big discussion. But, you know, the Constitution says that we are to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And the blessings is a capital B. Not only that, the Declaration of Independence declares several times that the colonies set out to do this to, it's hard for me to... I'm trying to do a direct quote here, but I don't think I'm going to be able to come up with it this morning. To the supreme ruler of the universe. And they talk often about the natural law and the natural rights. And all of those are specific terms of art and not just vagaries. And if you read the what the framers wrote themselves, that they themselves believed that you could not separate God from government. Thomas Jefferson said, the God that gave us life gave us liberty, and how can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when you remove their only firm foundation, the conviction in the minds of men that liberty is a gift from God? And Benjamin Franklin gave an address to the Constitutional Convention in which he told them, if we do not seek God in our deliberations, we will do no better in building this nation than the builders of Babel. And he said that if a sparrow cannot fall without God knowing about it, how can a nation rise without his aid? And so the understanding of where we are is understanding that this nation was built on the premises of a Judeo-Christian worldview. That being said, this is not a nation just for Christians, because it is the Judeo-Christian worldview that allows for free will, that allows for all men to be created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And we forget sometimes when we're being zealous in what we believe and the passions that we have, that this nation was built for all people because the premise of the Judeo-Christian worldview is that God gave man free will. And if God doesn't strike you dead for not believing exactly what he wants you to believe, then government shouldn't have that ability either.
Exactly. There are a lot of things government shouldn't have the ability to do.
Oh, yeah. So, there are a lot of things.
A lot of things. Big list. All right, let's see what Bob has queued up for us. We're going to thank our advertisers here. Now that we've got the online streaming back and things are working smoothly, you're listening to We the People Radio this morning at KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all by soul, then it's just your body, then they go. What shall we do about them?
Keep saying you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
And we're back. You're joining We the People Radio. Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, Bob Martin, and our guest, Chris Ann Hall. And Chris Ann, we know you have to take off at 9 o'clock, so continue on.
We're going to let you roll.
Let me roll. I don't know. What do you want me to say? It's just,
well, okay, so tell me this. How is this new career working out for you? And I know that it's very God-driven, and obviously you've been getting tremendous responses everywhere you go. What's your typical week look like?
There is no such thing as a typical week, typical week for me anymore. Last year, I averaged 6,000 miles a month driving across the country in my car.
Wow.
This year is different because now I've branched out further, so driving is no longer a regular option. For example, I left home on the 2nd of May to come out to the West Coast to do a West Coast tour, mm-hmm. and I won't be flying home until the 22nd of May.
Wow.
And I guess probably on average I spend... Oh, I don't know. I'm just guessing, and I might even be wrong. 3 days a week away from home,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's very interesting. I always thought that it would be really nice to be my own boss, but never really, you know, considered it.
No, you don't really. You didn't know what that really meant.
You didn't realize how mean you were to
your
employees.
I had no idea what that really meant, because when you're your own boss, see, I work 7 days a week,
mm-hmm.
and quite often 20 hours a day, depending on what part of the country I'm in, because I have I'm based on the East Coast. So when I'm here on the West Coast, I have a regular radio show that runs Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on the East Coast, which means I have to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning here to prep up and do the radio show. And quite often I'm teaching until 9 o'clock at night, which means I'm not to bed till 10 or 11. And that makes things that makes things a little crazy. I get a little tired sometimes.
Sure. Now, for everybody listening out there, you have children, correct?
I have two older children, and I have a 7-year-old
okay.
at home.
So that's like the ultimate sacrifice. So what you're doing for this country is really profound, because you're sacrificing time with your family and especially a young child. So
she's a homeschool mom.
That's no small thing.
No, but she's a homeschooler
too. We are blessed because Colton has, that's my son. We've been doing this since he was 3 years old. And, he's sort of been raised knowing nothing else, and he's homeschooled. So, that gives us a lot of, liberty. He will tell you very quickly, I'm not homeschooled. I'm car schooled, airplane schooled, hotel schooled.
Oh, okay.
And he's a nice little guy. We met him on Monday night when you were here, and
so he goes with you then.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
He goes with me quite often.
What a great education for him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
My son will never be raised to believe that education takes place in a classroom.
No, it doesn't.
The whole country is his schoolroom.
That's fabulous. So tell me, who are you teaching, and who are your primary audiences?
When I first started, it was primarily, your conservative-minded groups. I don't say Tea Party because some of them don't identify themselves as Tea Party, but I guess what the media would typically think as Tea Party groups, your conservative, limited government minded groups. But, in the last year and a half, we've really, gotten to be able to teach more people and a broader audience, because the word is getting out about how amazing this message is. And I humbly say that, because it's not my message. This is the message of the framers of this nation, and I'm simply presenting their words. I don't stand up and give people my opinions. I stand up and you were there, Aaron. I stand up and give people the opinions and the positions of the framers of this nation. And it is such a compelling, it's an emotional, journey. And so the word has gotten around about how amazing the words of the framers are, and I've been able to teach a lot broader based group. I've taught bar associations, which are probably my most hostile crowd. I've taught
it all starts with your attitude.
Yeah, right. I taught homeschool co-ops. I've taught in private schools. I have a special presentation that I give to churches on religious liberty from the framers' perspective. And it's totally different than the David Barton presentation. It's, I guess, sort of complements it. I don't contradict anything that he says, but it is different than the Barton message. And I have actually had the honor of going to Long Island, New York 3 times. And each time I went for a week, and I went on the invitation of the bishops and the priests on Long Island to come and teach their Catholic churches this religious liberty presentation. So I think that's really cool, because I'm a Baptist preacher's wife, and I've taught 4 Catholic masses in New York.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So I've also been able to teach in some colleges. I even taught in a liberal arts college in Miami.
Nice.
So this is something that is catching some really big momentum, and we are finding my schedule to be very packed.
And I'm not surprised by that, because even though there are opposing views to the social issues, the moral code, what the Constitution really means. Human nature, regardless of which side you believe on, human nature requires a framework. It requires something to stand on, something to believe in. And there are a lot of people floundering out there right now because they do tend to follow what someone leads them to. So they are looking for something solid to believe in, whether they want to admit that or not.
Well, and let's face it, the message we heard last Monday from Chris Ann was very common sense. That wasn't something where you needed, you know, you didn't need to be an attorney. You just need to have a really good memory because actually you brought up a lot of historical people, places, things, times. It's like, oh, yeah, I vaguely remember about that. You've obviously gone back and reread what we all learned in high school. And I lived in the East in high school. And so we learned the details about all that. Out here, they were doing different. It's interesting. Depends on where you live in the country. But lots of Revolutionary War history back there and what led up to it and the background of Britain and all that. And a lot of folks don't have that. They don't have that education.
Well, I have taught Supreme Court justices in Texas, and I've traveled across the country now. I've taught people with PhDs and master's degrees in American history and political science. And the consistent thing that they've told me is, my goodness, Chris Ann, I never learned this. And even if I did learn this, no one ever connected the dots for
exactly.
me like this.
Yeah, it didn't march right up to your front door and smack you in the face like it did Monday. Because that was truly the deal. You know, before, you know, the ideas were sort of driving by, and now they got out of the car, walked up to your house and said, you know, okay, get with it.
It's a very strong message on action. And I don't have to say get out and do something, because that's what the framers said, you know? I mean, it's an obligation that comes through the message, and it penetrates your heart and your soul. I mean, I know that. I can say that because it penetrated me first. You know, it made me get out and do things.
Yeah, I could see that. I could very much see that. And, you know, the thing is, when you're pulled out of your chair by, I mean, in your case, it was a, I don't know, I guess we call it a life lesson, you know, mm-hmm. when you find out the institution you work for is completely corrupted. And you march out on your own, it's kind of awesome because you have a different passion than people who went to college, got a degree, went out, got a job. I mean, you picked it, or it picked you.
It did definitely pick me. I would have never chosen this avenue on my own. I'm not a public speaker. I've never felt comfortable doing something like that. And it's always stunning to me the way God chooses to use people outside their comfort zones. I tell people all the time, I had the argument that Moses had with God. Seriously? You want me to talk to these people?
You're like, I don't think I'm the right girl.
Some errand somewhere?
Yeah, I'm not really the right girl. Pick somebody else.
Yeah, but, you know... It's not what I can do. It's what God can do through me. And what's amazing to me is the fact that this message does transcend cultural boundaries and religious boundaries. No, I mean, I teach Catholics, I teach Jewish people, I teach of all faiths. And I've had people who would consider themselves agnostic or atheist come up to me and thank me for the message. I had a young man the other day, Aaron, it was just amazing, come up to me and he sort of whispered at me. he said, Ms. Hall, I just want you to know I thank you because I have never heard anybody give me the truth about the foundation of this country and not link it and throw it under the direct control and immediate power of the religious right.
Oh.
And I thought that was a really big compliment because I am not a theocracy person. I don't believe that this nation needs to be run by the church and by the Ten Commandments. I believe that is not liberty because that's moral law alone. Liberty is not morality alone. Liberty is freedom plus morality. And to have somebody say that to me as a believer, right? Because I am a believer and I am a pastor's wife, and that turns people off, and they're like, oh, well, we know what she's going to say. But to have somebody from the other side of the spectrum say, you know, you were able to present this in such a way that it was not offensive, that it was palatable, that it was easy to accept, and it was the truth, is a huge compliment for me.
That's pretty awesome. That's great. I have a feeling I kind of know who that was, too.
Hey, and real quickly, we had folks on the chat room that wanted to thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you.
To the country.
That's right, because Chrisanne's a veteran, too.
Yeah.
We didn't have our computers up. We couldn't read your bio. And rather than winging it, we just started chatting.
Russian linguist.
I know, she was a Russian linguist, too.
Yeah.
It's like, are you kidding me? Really? All right, we're coming right back. You guys have a chance to, actually, all those details are there, and a way to reach Chrisanne. So if you're interested in having her come to a town near you, it's chrisannhall.com, chrisannehall.com. I guess with that, wow, we're taking a break. Be right back with you. We're here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. Bob Martin is our show producer and fabulous music maestro. And he's got a question for Chrisanne.
Oh, hey, Chrisanne. As we were discussing off the air, I caught your awesome presentation at the Tea Party meeting in Reading this past Monday night. And I wondered if, in the limited time remaining, you might touch on a couple of the topics that you, it's an hour and a half presentation, of course, so it's going to be very concentrated here, but your concept of the difference between liberty and freedom I found quite interesting, and also how government divides people in order to maintain power.
Well, you know, that is a bit of a mouthful in the last few minutes. But basically what I do is I connect dots. And I don't know, I wonder sometimes if that's a gift that God gave me, because sometimes things just come together for me like that. And what I do is I show that the Constitution is not a living, breathing document. There's a lot of people that believe that it is. They just don't, we're just not quite sure how to articulate that. And what I do is I teach everybody how they could stand toe-to-toe with Justice Ginsburg and show that it's not a living, breathing document. And that's fundamentally based upon the fact that our Constitution was not invented in 1786. It was inherited. There were 700 years and five documents that had to happen before we could even have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. When you come through my class, you see that Thomas Jefferson didn't write the Declaration of Independence. He actually plagiarized it. It looks just exactly like the four preceding documents that came before in British history. And the interesting thing to understand, again, is that history is not unique. History always repeats itself. And we can learn from people, from our history, on how to avoid the pitfalls of tyranny. We were supposed to be. That's what our framers gave us. And what we have to understand through the study of these five documents, the 700 years, is that, number one, liberty and freedom are not the same thing. Because if we build a nation on freedom, that means we're free to lie, we're free to steal, we're free to murder, we're free to do whatever we want to do, regardless of how that affects other people. Now, that might be how you think we should live, but that's not liberty. See, freedom all by itself is anarchy. And when you come into a society, when you create government, governments have been historically and always been created to preserve liberty, not to preserve freedom, although we don't really understand the difference. And liberty is the understanding that, yes, I am free to do whatever I want to do. But because I live in a society of people, I won't, because some of those things are wrong. I can murder my neighbor, but I won't murder my neighbor because that's wrong. And so liberty is really freedom plus that morality. Some people call it ethics. The understanding that I am free but to do whatever I want, but I won't because some things are wrong. And in understanding that, that's what gives us the framework. And this is the focus of the framers of our nation, was to preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And I think what you were referring to is how governments always divide themselves. There's an amazing document in the genealogy of our Constitution called the Grand Remonstrance of 1641. It was a revolution against Charles I. And I don't know if you guys were there. You probably agree with me now. Charles I reminds us a lot of Barack Obama. And Charles I was a mouth-spending king and a tyrannical king, and he did many things against the people. And in the Grand Remonstrance of 1641, the people, having watched 600 years of tyranny, 600 years of tyrants, had discovered that there's a design to tyranny. They called it a malignant and pernicious design to subvert the fundamental laws and liberties of the kingdom. And they identified the malignant and pernicious design as this: corruption of the court systems, infiltration of foreign law, diminishing the property rights of the people, the government inserting itself in the church, manipulation of the monetary system, and the government disarming the people while the government stayed unlawfully armed. And that was the malignant and pernicious design identified in 1641.
Well, if anybody is, you'd have to really, really, really not be paying attention to not recognize that list.
So there's really nothing new here.
No, not at all. I'm sure many of your listeners, excuse me, I've been speaking a lot. My voice gets a little froggy. Many of your listeners have heard of Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Agenda 21 was not invented by the United Nations, because in this Grand Remonstrance of 1641, we learn that Charles I was engaged in sustainable development. Many of the grievances against Charles in this Grand Remonstrance illustrate the very principles that we have identified in modern day as Agenda 21. But even more stunningly so, there's one that's right on point, and it complains that Charles was taking the private land from the landowners and creating the King's National Forest Preserve in the name of resource preservation and depopulation. And I'm sure you have lots of people out there who are upset with the Federal Reserve. But the Federal Reserve didn't invent tyranny either, because one of the grievances against Charles I in 1641 is that he was attempting to remove them from the gold and silver standard and was creating brass fiat money. And in 1641, they called that treason, and they chopped off Charles' head.
They were kind of bitter, weren't they?
Yeah, no kidding.
It is just remarkable.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think it's just because they understood that liberty was worth something. You know, in our past, the understanding of liberty, the price of liberty, the value of liberty was better understood. And even though I don't necessarily advocate the violence, they understood that you can't tolerate tyranny.
They understood that it was worth fighting for.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, we have a better government than they had. In their day, being subjects to a king, the only choice to change the government when it's gone bad is to chop off the king's head.
Mm-hmm, right.
See, we have a constitutional republic. And we have been given a better mechanism. We are a Republican government, a government of representation. And in that, we have the ability to change government without chopping off the king's head.
Yeah, by changing your representatives.
Right, exactly. Or working on the local level. We have more power on the local level than we do on the federal level.
You know,
it's frustrating to me that
is,
people focus on that.
And that's something we've said all along. And we have, over the last 3 or 4 years, have countless examples of how much more effective you can be at the local level because of a lot of successes that we've had at our local level.
I think most groups have kind of figured that out. The ones that are really myopically focused on national issues where they really can't get their hands on it, they meet very infrequently. You know, they're a little bit, you know, they've lost a little bit of steam.
Sure.
Local, you can sink your teeth into. Hey, Chris Ann, we need to take one last break. We'll come back with you and finish off to the top of the hour.
All right.
You guys are listening to Chris Ann Hall here on We the People Radio at KCNR, 1460 AM.
Jump on.
Idiot.
There's too many of those out there. Jump on wethepeopleradio.us for all the information about Chris Ann Hall and how to contact her and how to bring her to a community near you. And we're streaming and chatting live there as well. And you can click on any link of any show we've done in the past and send it far and wide.
And before all the people in the Redding area and Northern California, before they send in 9,000 requests for the workshop that Chris Ann talked about, it's 5 hours, right, Chris Ann?
Yes, it's 5 hours.
Okay. So we've already fired off a request on that. So we're working on it.
Woohoo, yeah.
Request on that. So we're working on it.
Woohoo, yay.
So, because people were, are you
coming
kidding?
Back.
Are you kidding me? My phone was ringing off the hook. People were like, no, when was the workshop? I missed the date. I'm like, we just made it up. We just learned about it. She just said, I'll come back. We don't have a date. People were freaking out. Is it this week? Is it tomorrow? No.
And, you know, I'm really sorry that I couldn't stay for the 2 hours, but I'd like to offer to come back anytime you want me to.
Okay, cool.
Wonderful.
We've got lots of constitutional issues, obviously.
Especially here in California.
Yeah, California, we're raising the bar for abuse of private property, just on and on and on. So if you were going to...
Well, we're not too far behind you in Florida, so don't worry.
If you were going to give folks, I mean, for one, we'll probably run out of time, so thank you very much for coming jumping on. So when we run out of time, we'll just say bye. But in the time remaining, for people who... for people who didn't come on Monday or live far away or whatever, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, the video, the entire video of Chris Ann's presentation is on the bottom of that page.
Oh,
so,
sweet.
Yeah, there's a way to contact her. The video for Monday is on there, so you can get up to speed pretty quickly, and you can also send that page out to people. But if you were going to give people something to look at in this whole thing that you think maybe the bulk of folks aren't looking at, or they're just not seeing it, what would that be?
That we need to get our eyes off of economies. We need to get our eyes off budgets and prosperities and jobs. Because without liberty, you're not going to have any of those things. Mm-hmm. And focusing, and historically speaking, now I'm not just talking... In our immediate history, I'm talking about repeatedly throughout history, that when people are focused simply on job numbers and economies and balanced budgets and, oh, we don't want to talk about the social issues, we have to stick with those things like money. When you're focused just on those things, tyrants are always able to manipulate the economy, is always able to trickle down just enough to make you a happy slave. I mean, here we have, we're in a depression, if you will, because that's probably the better definition of the word, sequestering this and sequestering that, and yet Obama is having concerts at the White House and setting up booths and malls to give out free Obama phones. So you see, you can always be tricked into being a slave until you understand that it's not about money and it's about liberty. And that was what our framers were focused on. And we don't understand liberty anymore. We think that the price that we pay for liberty is we peel ourselves off the lazy boy, turn off Dancing with the Stars, and vote once every 2 years if we're lucky. But we are going to have to pay for liberty. It's an inevitability. And if we shirk our responsibility, then we will condemn our children to buy back a gift that was supposed to be bought by us. And they won't do it at the ballot box. We will force them to do that with their blood.
Right.
And I don't want to be responsible for that.
That's a really good point, because it is easy to get, I mean, we are. We do have to focus on, you know, if people have to pay their bills. You know, there are things we have to do, but while we're doing that, taking our eye off the ball means that we're going to lose the whole deal. That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to those people who say, well, there's no point in voting. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't make any difference anyway.
I say if you tamely suffer a lawless attack on liberty, you encourage it. You are not doing nothing. You are actually selling your children into slavery.
Do they seem to get that? Because I plan on replaying that when we get the archive up and using that. How's that work out? Because I'm thinking, do you slap them first or after?
You know, it has to be in combination with the understanding that liberty is a value, you know, and people don't really understand that. We are so far removed from what we need to know and what we need to do that we no longer understand that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And just because we haven't been paying, just because we've become pacified in our prosperity and lazy in luxury, doesn't mean that bill isn't accruing. We get outraged by $17 trillion in debt. But the debt we've accrued in not paying for liberty for 100 years is much greater than $17 trillion. It's a debt that has to be paid. It's not just ones and zeros. It is a debt that has to be paid, and it will be paid one way or the other. And so you just have to put the reality in front of their faces and say, look, liberty you don't buy for yourself. You have to admit that men have died so you can have liberty. Now it's your turn, and if you fail, then, you know, which generation, just pick one out of your future, which generation do you want to condemn to servitude? Because that's exactly what you do by not voting. Not voting means that you're not undecided. Not voting means you don't care. You haven't been impacted enough positively to like the guy that's in office. You haven't been impacted enough negatively to get him out of the office. You just want to be left alone in your happy little world of you, and you simply don't care. And saying you don't care means you don't care about the future of your children.
So for all those people that are, you know, hysterical because the candidates aren't perfect and they have to pick the least bad alternative, which is just abhorrent to them, so they'd rather just not go.
Mm-hmm. Well, to those people, I say, then get off your tail and find a candidate that you like and do everything you can to get them elected.
That's right.
Because we have a misconception that you have to have millions of dollars to get elected. You don't need millions of dollars when you have 300 people. And we have replaced the value. We have replaced the price of liberty with a checkbook. And it simply doesn't work that way. When you focus on money, all you're going to get is corruption and tyranny. So you have to focus on liberty, get off your tail, go do something about it, and if you're going to complain, then you have to do something. If
right.
you're not going to do something, then shut up.
Thank you, Chrisanne.
Then shut up.
I don't know. Is that harsh? I'm just
not at all.
We totally like it. That's right up our alley.
Yeah, it totally is.
We were all like, yeah, that's how we want to end this segment. Thank you so much for coming on with us. We will be seeing you again. So for those
folks that
want to hear more and see more from Chrisanne Hall, it's chrisannehall.com. Or you can find it all on WeThePeopleRadio.us, along with the video from Monday, which I would suggest you watch.
And it's up on WeThePeopleRadio.us if you scroll to the bottom.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chrisanne. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you, Chrisanne.
All
right, hour number two of We the People, right around the corner with Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and yours truly, Bob Martin, here at KCNR Shasta Reading.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. You were joining Hour 2. We are chatting and streaming live at WeThePeopleRadio.us, so you can jump on your computer and you know, turn us on, minimize it, and do some other stuff, pay some bills, do some online shopping, whatever, while you're still listening to We the People Radio. You can give us a call at 530-605-4567, and we had Chris Ann Hall on the first hour, who is traveling the country, giving the true history of the Constitution of the United States and all that that implies, and the role of God in that incredibly valuable document. And you're joining your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. And speaking of decimation of the U.S. Constitution, we sure had some fun stuff going on this week in the news. We're going to get an update from Mark Kent, who is a tax preparer in our area and has been dealing with this issue for our local Tea Party. And I don't know if Mark is on the line. Are you in there, Mark?
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. How you doing?
The fun never stops in my world.
Yeah. Boy, have you been in the spotlight this week or what?
Well, not by choice, but circumstances beyond my control seem to dictate the course of my life these days.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, way back when, mm-hmm. you know, when we put up, and for all those people watching the news who think that the 501c4s are the only ones that the IRS was messing with and that they were only auditing them, newsflash for you, the local group here put up a C3 and a C4. Neither one has been approved yet.
And that was 3 years ago that we applied.
They sent us invasive questionnaires on one, but it's the problem is bigger than what you're hearing in the news, actually.
And which leads to me to remind you always that when you listen to mainstream media, you need to take it with a grain of salt because you are never getting the whole story.
Yeah, and do a little homework. Plus, they're after some Christian groups, some Catholic groups in particular.
Pro-life groups.
There are a whole bunch of guys coming out of the woodwork. What are you hearing, Mark? What are you hearing on this whole thing?
I'm shocked that you guys think that the mainstream media doesn't tell the truth all the time. I mean, I'm just shocked.
Hold on, everybody together now.
That just sucked the air out of the room.
So let's see what's going on this week. Well, it looks to me like the suit is being prepared to go forward on Thursday.
Now, give a little history on that, Mark, for those that are not aware of the American Center for Law and Justice and how they've teamed up with some of the conservative groups.
Well, if we start from the beginning when we first prepared the documents to for the applications, the 1023 and the 1024. Applications for exempt status and sent them in to the IRS. Typically it takes a while. We expected that, 6 months to 9 months is typical turnaround time, unless you're Obama's brother, then it's 34 days, I think. But,
that's a true statement.
Or if you have a name that says, we're green solar,
or you have the word progressive.
Yeah, green solar progressive worshiping people, then it goes right through. So, we submitted these, and I expected, a little bit of a blowback from these guys. But, I didn't expect the stonewalling that we got, and that became apparent fairly quickly after, we sent the original application into Kentucky, and it was received there, and then it was sent on to Cincinnati, where there was only two guys that thought this whole thing up, believe the media is just ridiculous. I mean, so it goes from Kentucky to Cincinnati, and then from Cincinnati to somebody I spoke in Washington, and then it goes back to Laguna Niguel
in California.
And so, basically she says, we've got your case when I finally got to her, and it'll be a couple of weeks, and it should be no problem. Well, a couple weeks goes by, I call back, and nothing, so evidently word came down from on high, in my opinion, that, we need to, because this is in early 2010. This is not yet, last year or the year before.
And Mark, and you have the actual certified receipts that you sent in those applications in March of 2010.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely do have them. In fact, I submitted those to the ACLJ yesterday, at least the dates on them. I haven't given them the actual copies. But, that was submitted with proof of delivery and the whole nine yards. And, when we started getting stonewalled, well, I contacted our congressman because that's supposed to be the avenue to get some, redress of your grievance on this stuff. And So we contacted Mr. Herger and sent on all of the applications again to them, and they were kind of surprised when they said, well, could you send over the application? And, you know, it blew up their copier or their fax machine, because the application is in itself, you know, 50, 60 pages. So we got that over there, and then it sat over there for a long time, and the results of that were that there's nothing we could do.
Nice.
And we, you know, went to the taxpayer's advocate, nothing we could do. And so, you know, we're getting frustrated along this whole process and, you know, angry and so forth. And then I heard about the American Center for Law and Justice taking on these cases because there was, you know, at that point, where do you go? You know, you have to start suing people.
And for some time there, Mark, I believe that we felt that it was just us. There was something about us. We didn't realize in the beginning that this was happening to conservative groups all across the country.
Yeah, and I, at that, you're absolutely correct there, Elizabeth. I mean, at that point, you know, we just had assumed that, okay, you know, maybe we did something wrong. I don't know if I assumed that as much as I just said, hey, these guys, you know, they sort of targeted us for some reason. I didn't realize the extent of what they were doing, but you know, the paperwork was clean and tight, and I felt confident in what I submitted, you know, because I did put quite a few hours in the research to put the application together properly. So, you know, I just felt like something's going on here. I mean, you get that gut feeling something's not right. And so I heard that, you know, Jay Sekulow and those guys were the, you know, American Center for Law and Justice, were taking on these cases, you know, at that point in time, nobody really knew the extent of how bad this was. I mean, this was a, you know, the idea of the spin doctors trying to minimize the damage, that you know, that seems to be the big deal. All the little guys do everything, and nobody at the top knew nothing, you know, in all these scandals.
Well, and I would imagine that the American Center for Law and Justice, when they started to get information from different groups across the country, started to see the documentation, they must have just been flabbergasted at what they were looking at and the magnitude.
I think you're right. You know, I think you're right. And then and somewhere in this process, they contacted TIGA, which is the Treasury Inspector General's office, and they're like the Internal Affairs Division. I've dealt with those guys a couple of times on a couple of issues. And they're sort of like the Internal Affairs Division on in a police force. You know, I mean, they look at to see if there's dirty cops.
Mm-hmm.
And so that those guys got involved a couple of years ago. And so that's this report that everybody's talking about when you got the two gentlemen up there in front of the congressional hearing. You know, one guy's from TIGA and the other guy's the head of the IRS. So somewhere along the line, they got involved. I don't think anybody really knew the extent of this. I mean, last count I heard that they were up to, you know, around 500 groups, not just Tea Party groups or patriot groups or, you know, but religious groups and conservative groups and anybody that was, you know, I mean, it's reminiscent of, you know, Nixon's enemies list.
Well, and this, the timing of this, I mean, they stonewalled through two major election periods, and it did not allow a huge portion of the population to play by the same rules during the election season. I mean, we were not allowed.
A lot of them didn't get off the ground. There's no question about it. Were either intimidated or decided to give up on the process because they couldn't get it through. And I really feel for those people. Because, you know, my profession is, you know, fighting the IRS. So we were kind of lucky from that aspect.
Yeah,
that
we had a huge leg up.
We did.
Everybody knows me. I don't intimidate very easily. And, in fact, I go the other way. You got to rein me in because I get mad. So
do we get to mention how we chose to write our paperwork?
Not at this point yet.
Okay.
Let's hold off on that.
Well, let's talk about how we chose our name. We can do that. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Because that was super fun. I mean, this is just the kind of people we are.
And our group is PECON, Patriots Educating Concerned Americans Now, and we thought that was a better nut than Acorn.
Exactly. It was all during the Acorn.
I mean, if you were going to have a nut, which would you prefer, a pecan or an acorn?
Our ads at Acorn, and we got to give Rally Sally the credit for that.
She did that. So, Mark, so,
that was just fun for everybody.
So let me get your take on something. The woman that came forward and dropped the bombshell on what the IRS had been doing, they're saying that Lois Lerner, her comment that started this whole ball downhill was timed and strategic.
Yeah, that was an apology, but that's kind of like, a little bit of crocodile tears going on there because, she apologized in lieu of understanding that this report from the Treasury Inspector was coming out in another week. And so they released their apology on a Friday night, which, is their way of trying to bury the story because nobody pays attention over the weekend. The thing goes away on Monday. Life is good. We're back to a square one. But little did they realize that when they did that, the firestorm of outrage that was going to, spring out of that because, everybody's been waiting in the wings here for, developments on this thing to happen. We had talked with the attorney 3 days before that about this whole process and had no idea that they were going to release this apology. Mm-hmm. We knew that the report was coming out. We knew that things were in the works. We knew that the IRS was starting to acquiesce to the rules and the law that they're supposed to follow. But I was a little bit surprised when the apology thing came out. And, but the timing of it was to head the story off as this administration does on a regular basis to minimize the political damage.
And the head of the IRS, I'm not pulling his name up.
Steve Miller.
Yeah, he used to have a great band, but now he's just a dirtbag with the IRS.
Hey, so for those of you that think
I just remember he doesn't fly like an eagle.
No, and for those of you out there that think that he actually got fired, he was scheduled to retire in a month anyway. So don't kid yourself. He's retiring with full benefits. He didn't get fired.
I watched part of that hearing the other night because I had it saved on my DVR. I was gone during the real thing, and I'm flipping through it, and it's like, who's the dirtbag? I was picking another word, same initials though, with the curly hair. Honestly, really? Yeah. I mean, the guy looks like he has like screw you written all over his face. Yeah. Can we say screw you? We allowed to
you
say
just
that?
Did.
Come over the air, so.
That was different too.
And I wonder with all of the controversies that the administration is going through right now, anybody on this conversation believe that the timing of this IRS scandal had anything to do with covering up anything else going on, like, I don't know, Benghazi?
Gosh.
It's kind of funny though, because let's throw one of our other departments to the wolves. That's the part that's humorous about it is they're starting to feed on themselves.
And before we go to a break, at the end of the day, I have to wonder if anything is actually going to happen to anyone.
After the break, maybe we can talk about the gal who was overseeing this thing and how she has been promoted to the Obamacare oversight. And
I know.
I can't
remember
right off the top of my head,
Sarah Ann Ingram.
Yeah, we should warn people that they're going to be mad about that. So in 2 minutes, you're kind of going to get mad. So you should probably get yourself a snack or
a Valium
or decaf. we're going to be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Great song. Listen to the words.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I sure don't want to hurt no one.
And that is Ode to Steve Miller.
He totally looked like a midnight toker, too.
Yeah, he did. And what is it with all of these people? They look like they're throwbacks from the 60s. Like,
they are throwbacks from the 60s.
I bet he had Birkenstocks on underneath in that congressional hearing. What do you think?
And they say we look like hobbits.
I know.
Liars.
So, anyway.
He patterned himself after Bill Ayers.
Yeah, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, he looked like a charmer.
So, the scary thing here. No, oh, wait, you got somebody on the chat room.
Well, it's going to roll over. The chat room keeps rolling, which we wanted, okay. But it's really hard to read stuff. I asked Sally to send me the definition on pecan because we were talking about nuts that day, and she went back and did a little homework on the pecan, and so I asked her to send me that because it's actually sort of funny. Pecans. The tree is native to North America, grows to 130 feet. It will live and bear fruit for 300 years. Then the pecan nut is a complete food. The wood is highly prized for furniture making, and it's the state tree of Texas.
Nice.
So, I mean, really,
it's very
and truly,
all-American.
Exactly.
Very
How can you just dismiss pecan unless you're the evil IRS? So there you go. Sorry, go back to your
okay,
point.
Okay, so the thing that scares me that you've got the IRS now targeting individuals and groups, and these are the same people that are going to be in charge of your health care. They're going to decide whether the health care plan you currently have is suitable to them. They are going to decide how much they're going to fine you. They're going to decide whether or not you qualify for any health care plans that are administrated by the government. They're being put in charge of your health care. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what would.
Well, you know, it shouldn't be a problem because, you know, what they did was they called all of the patriot and conservative groups and put them in a big pile off to the side to make it more efficient in the processing of them. And so, you know, it was all a big mistake. And so, you know, the incompetency is probably just going to stay with the IRS. You know, it's not going to head over to, you know, Obamacare at all. I mean,
no, they're probably going to be awesome on that part. Super, super, super on point.
Yeah, you go from you have to come to one or two conclusions. These guys are so incompetent that, you know, they should all be fired, or that they're so criminally crooked that they should all be fired. But you know, either way, I kind of or jailed. I mean, I kind of like what Boehner said. I mean, one of the few things I've actually liked that Boehner says. But yeah, somebody should go to jail over this stuff.
Isn't that funny?
But do you think anyone will? Really?
Oh, I don't think so. Not the way things stand. I mean, there's got to be enough outrage from the public. And hold on a second. I'm out back. I got a train coming here. Let me.
Wow, that never happens. How many guests do we have that have a train in their backyard? Now, here's...
This is like a... I was just looking at a thing last night. Somebody sent me about taking the Google Analytics off your phone. You know, the... What do you call it? The map?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The GPS. Okay. Thank you. Off your pictures, because if you post them online, people can find out where you are. So mm-hmm. they can see, like, where your kids are and where they go to school from
can
the picture.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, from the pictures. And so I'm just thinking, like, right now, see, we just did a little map questing on Mark. Let's follow the train routes. We can find out where he is.
Hey, so, God, I lost my thought.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, man. Oh,
there's your train of thought.
I lost my, there you go, Bob. Thank you. So here's another thing that comes to mind for me as I think about whether or not they're testing the waters to see what kind of pushback they get on this issue, because the IRS will be in charge of your health care starting in January, which is right around the corner. What are the chances that this is going to give them the impetus that they need to power through even more when they see that there are no consequences, none at all, to their steamrolling over citizens?
You know what I think is going to happen is they're going to throw a few of the small, you know, what they try to do is throw the lower level guys to the wolves and hoping it stops there, you know, but it's starting to climb the ladder of the wolves. So, you know, if there's a smoking gun that connects Obama or any of the White House staff to this, and, you know, that's going to be a big tell sign, you know, that's going to be a big tell right there as to where this goes. Are they going to appoint a special prosecutor? I don't know. I mean, there's three big, you know, scandals here, and I think any one of them could actually take them down. I'm not too worried about the AP thing, but this or Benghazi, either one of those are serious enough to where, you know, if we, you know, they should have impeached him already, quite frankly, based on what the Constitution says. I think that right now with Harry Reid in the Senate, that's the big problem, and I think the Republicans are waiting for 214 to turn over the Senate. So I don't think we're going to know till then. But the problem is how much damage is going to happen between here and there.
Right.
And are some people going to go to jail? Yeah, I think that people are going to go to jail. How far up it goes, I don't know.
Well, at some point in time, you know, it's interesting because the Benghazi, I always, you know, my mom is always my, my
barometer.
You know, yeah, kind of my canary in the coal mine. So I was down there doing some work and stayed at her house. So I had time. I had some time to talk to her when it wasn't some big family hoopla, you know. And she was very, very unfamiliar with everything that happened with Benghazi because they're not getting that down there. I'm always curious what they're getting because she's watching some news, you know, TV a little bit, you know, just what comes on during dinner time or that sort of thing. And then what comes out in their local paper. And it would have to be sort of a headline thing because they're not reading it necessarily cover to cover. So Benghazi totally slipping through the cracks.
Mm.
But the IRS thing,
mm-hmm.
She was super up to speed on the IRS thing.
Wow.
And thought that was outrageous and how the government could do something like that and how scary that was because they have so much of our information.
That's right.
And they have so much power and all that. Mm-hmm. And I thought, bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo.
And what you should read from that as well is the IRS got a lot more press than the Benghazi did. And that shows you the power of the press. If they were doing their job like they should be doing their job and weren't such lapdogs for our president, the Benghazi thing would have been blown up a long time ago.
Yeah, that's true too. But the press, meanwhile, the press has been spied on as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're finally getting a little bit of comeuppance for their lackadaisical coverage of stuff.
Well, there was something on the news just a few minutes ago that what is his name? Piers Morgan?
British guy who should go back to England?
Yeah. He's all of a sudden decided that maybe those pro-gun advocates had a little something going on about protecting themselves against the tyranny of their government. He's finally starting to wake up.
He said that?
He said that.
He threw the NRA under the bus last month.
It was the AP thing. You know, he's a journalist. So, I've always maintained when it hits you, then you're going to wake up.
Exactly.
So what do we think about the congressional hearings? I mean, are they going through the motions or are they serious about their investigations?
Well, I think the Democrats are going through the motions and trying to do damage control. But I also believe from what I've seen, and I watched pretty much most of the congressional hearings, is that the Republicans are serious. There's a group of Republicans that are serious, I think. You know,
those are the ones that have just come up through the ranks in the last 2 or 3 years.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the non-establishment.
Starting to put the pressure on, and they're angry. And I think they really see the potential for tyranny that's already existing, that if this goes any further, who knows where we end up. I mean, you know, to think that our government can't get out of control to the point of, Russia or China or someplace, I think is absolutely naive because I'm sure they didn't think it was going to get out of hand in Russia, China, or any other place if this happened.
Sure. And it's always insidious and creeping, and they always, as they're stripping away your personal and private rights, they always spin it as a benefit to you because they're protecting you.
Well, you know, I can't think of one dictator that came out when they were going into power that came out and said, hey, at the end of the road, at the end of the day, here, guys, this is going to be a dictatorship, and you're all going to do what you're told, and we're probably going to kill a few people. You know, I just don't ever remember them doing that. I think that what they did was the people loved them every time that they started coming into power because they present a picture to the public that they're a great guy.
Yeah. Well, you can only get out of so much. I mean, after a while, let's face it, you know, it's a little bit like rain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little rain's great. A lot of rain's manageable, but a deluge for more than a couple of days is called flooding. And flooding is an issue, you know, for everybody. Flatland, you live on a hill, all of a sudden you've got all sorts of problems, a lot of damage. You draw a lot of attention to yourself, and this is like flooding.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a little bit of raining, you know, and it's been a little bit of heavy rain. We've had some thunderstorms.
Well, and you know,
but when you've got the IRS going down the drain, you've got all these outfits going down the drain. You're being looked at for everything.
And you think about...
is it really not you?
And if you think about...
And as you pointed out, these are issues that cross party lines that people on the left and the right are upset about.
Yeah.
The IRS, the freedom of the press.
Mm-hmm. Killing ambassadors and then lying about it, you know, and your Secretary of State magically goes missing. My mom's like, oh, but But she fell. She had a head injury. My mom did catch some of that.
Well, and then you even go back to the Boston Marathon bombing and a lot of these large school shootings, and people are just, they're feeling incredibly insecure and unsafe and completely out of balance. Out of balance, yeah. And vulnerable, and the government that swears that they're there to protect you and keep you safe aren't doing anything along those lines.
Well, here's two things to maybe think about. One of the things on the Benghazi issue is that there was a phone call at 10 p.m. That night between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and nobody's focused on that. I'd like to know what that conversation was about.
Mm-hmm.
And then another issue is that you got this administration is famous for watch this handle. I'm doing something with the other.
Yeah,
there was
sure.
There was some
yes.
Yeah, there was some Senate hearings.
You got a lot of nods Friday. When you said that.
there were some Senate hearings on Friday about this whole takeover with the making the war zone any place in the world for the Pentagon and the Army. And that kind of is a little bit frightening for me because I don't have the story here in front of me, but they're saying that any place in the world is basically a war zone, and they can bypass the War Powers Act in the Congress and do something. Now that's chilling.
Now, if your top level officials in your government do not value the life of one of their ambassadors, someone that has been chosen to represent the United States to another country, if they do not value that person's life, you really think they're going to value yours?
Yeah. No kidding.
You as an average citizen mean nothing.
No. It's funny, too. I just I clicked on MSNBC because I was kind of curious what they would have on there. And the entitled article is White House Defends IRS Handling. McConnell Asserts Culture of Intimidation. So the White House is defending. The Republicans are on the attack. And in this thing, they actually, of course, they're spinning it. But they bring up Benghazi. They bring up all these other things. So here's the flooding I'm talking about. You can no longer encapsulate the IRS issue as scattered showers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Big. It's like, well, there's way too much water and it's sweeping up everything and it's all floating past. So
part of a larger pattern.
In a way, that's actually kind of awesome. I sort of like that because the more people hear about it, the more they go, hey, wait, what? The what? They had a what?
Well, that's like going back to the IRS thing. What you have to do is look at the backdrop of this whole thing. I mean, to come across and say the media or the White House that this is just two guys in Cincinnati, when you understand the backdrop of what's going on across the board, and you look at what happened, you got an election coming up in 12, and prior to that, the midterms, and all these people are being shut down in their rights with the backdrop of everything else that's going on, whether it's Benghazi or, the Muslims being let into the country, whatever it is. But if you look at the big picture and see this whole thing across the board, I don't think you can come to the conclusion that these are isolated incidences.
No, because, and it's funny because here's an NBC, this NBC article starts with the IRS. It was about the IRS. But the final throes of it is McConnell said he thought it was clear the administration has made up a tale about Benghazi last fall. So close to the presidential election because admitting to having presided over a terrorist attack would have been politically inconvenient. The talking points clearly weren't accurate. I think getting to the bottom of it is important for the investigation. That's how the article about the IRS ends.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh. Okay, yeah. On that note, we've got to take a really swift break, see what Bob's got planned for us, our listening pleasure. Thank our advertisers here at We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM. It's Mark's theme song.
One for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Do you remember your President Nixon? Do you remember the bills you have to pay?
And we're back. We the People Radio, chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us with your hosts Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. And we are talking about government overreach. Hey, you know, there's always the EPA. Here's a headline, lawsuit. EPA conducted gas chamber-like experiments on the elderly, infirm. The elderly and the infirm at the University of North Carolina.
When was that?
Let's see.
Last week.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
No,
like, Bob, you're so all over it. What? We're only giving you half the news.
Really,
we're just going to give you the headline, and then we'll tell you what the rest of it later.
And I'll just let you research that for yourself. How's that?
But it was a headline. Where was the headline?
On the Drudge Report.
Oh, Matt Drudge.
So, and by the way, the Drudge Report, kind of an interesting news outlet. People think that the Drudge Report, that they write all the news, all they do is triage it. They just pull in headlines from other news sources around the country and put it all in one place for you. So it's a
including
great...
the Huffington Post and publications like that too. It's not.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
a very balanced kind of an aggregator.
It is. Yeah. It is.
It's, I'm not it's all. A, I'm not all that sign. Crazy about balance. Mm. It's overrated.
You think?
I'm kidding.
So, Mark, you still in there?
I'm still here.
Ooh.
So you've got a big picture view of this IRS scandal. What do you see happening, I don't know, let's say by January of 2014 when Obamacare is fully implemented?
Wow, that's a $64 question.
I know it is. I thought I'd lay you out there.
People are going to freak. You know, people should be freaking out, actually, if they think the IRS handling their health care is going to work out.
God.
Well, with Sarah Hall Ingram in charge of Obamacare,
yeah.
After she presided over the
cherry picking
of the 501c groups.
Oh. Yeah. Here's the thing on Piers Morgan. I'm sorry. Can I interject?
Do it.
Can I interrupt? This is Piers Morgan.
We like it, but we only let you do it if you go, oh.
Okay.
Like Mr. Cotta.
So Piers Morgan is a liberal from, Britain, Great Britain,
uh-huh.
England.
Yeah.
And he's got pretty solid opinions about things that happened in America.
Check.
And has been a strong proponent against the Second Amendment. He's now saying, and I'm going to find a quote for you here. On March 11th, he insisted that people need the nanny state occasionally. Now, after hearing of the Obama administration's involvement in the IRS targeting of conservative groups and its secret seizure of Associated Press phone records, the CNN host admitted to guest Penn Jillette that perhaps gun advocates were right about creeping tyranny after all. End quote. I've had some of the pro-gun lobbyists on here saying to me, well, the reason we need to be armed is because of tyranny from our own government. And I've always laughed at them, Morgan said. I said, don't be ridiculous. Your government wouldn't turn itself on you. But actually, this is vaguely tyrannical behavior by the American government.
Vaguely?
Mm-hmm.
So vaguely we can actually see it.
He continued.
Well, you know what people don't realize a lot of times is that, you know, man's worst enemy throughout history has been government. You know, the idea that most governments are good is completely contrary to history. When you look into history, who sent you to wars? Who took your private property? Who put you into serfdom? You know, who threw you in jail? It's been government from day one. Now, we've only had a government by the people for the people for a couple hundred years here. You know, keep going back farther,
yeah.
And what you have is you have the feudal system, typically, where you got the kings, the nobles, and the serf, and guess what? The kings made all the law, told everybody what to do, and owned all the property. That was the definition of tyranny.
And this is where knowing your history is so critical. So we've got a caller on the line. Brian, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Good morning. Did you have a question or a comment?
Well, I'm a teacher myself, and the thing about Obamacare, and I found out recently, but it's looking as if my organization is probably going to just go ahead and pay the fines instead of paying all the insurance policies on some people because it's just going to be too expensive. And I've been hearing that from other people as well. And so what I'm curious is what's going to happen when you have this large majority of individuals that are just going to pay the fines and just not give insurance. So how is Obamacare really going to benefit any individual when people don't even trust it in the first place? And and nobody's going to be getting insurance.
Well, the
that's going to be the question.
The first thing that'll happen is if everybody drops their insurance and prefers to pay the fine, this is what will put your insurance companies out of business, and that's what will end up with a single-payer system. That is when the government will be in total and complete control of your health care.
Well, you know, there's a saying in Russia, and I think this is exactly what's going to happen. And they say in Russia, everybody's got health coverage, but nobody can see the doctor. There's actually no care.
Mm-hmm.
See, so if you have no doctors and there's no funds for health insurance because everybody's on the dole, economically, it's a train wreck, and you end up with everybody getting less care or no care. And nobody wins. It's an absolute bunch of garbage. But what you do end up with is government in control of your life.
Well, and then you also have the other fact that all that revenue they're making off fines are going to them, and they don't have to put anything out for it.
There you have it. So what they're doing is they're just increasing their power, increasing their revenue stream, and decreasing Medicare costs or Medicare delivery or medical delivery to the people, so that there's less cost on the end of actually taking care of everybody from a medical standpoint. It's a government takeover. There's no question. And this is exactly what Hitler did in Germany before World War II. This is one of the steps, you know, like Chris Ann talked about. There's steps, you know, and taking over a country, and this happens to be one of them that they used in Germany before World War II, and it's hard to see with the backdrop of everything that's going on when you see all these steps. It's right out of the, you know, Machiavellian Prince thing, where, you know, how do you take over a country? Well, you follow these steps, and you never put so much pressure on everybody that they revolt, so you do it incrementally.
Well, and I do know that Michael Savage said months ago that the first thing he's going to do is he's going to siphon off of Medicare and just totally destroy that. And from what I'm gathering, he's already making cuts already. So I'm assuming that's already in place.
Yeah, Medicare is going to be defunded by $700 billion. That's supposed to be, you know, going to Medicare is going to be taken over to the Obamacare. So those guys are all losing on that end. And they're already out of money. You got, you know, what's her name, Sebelius, going and asking the private companies now for money and begging from them because it's already broke.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Hey, thanks for your thoughts.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah. And for all those of you that are going, oh, God, these conservatives, they just keep talking about Hitler. It's got nothing to do with that. That's so crazy. Hey, newsflash. In June, we're going to have Kitty Werthmann, I believe is her last name. Kitty Werthmann. She's 88 years old. Grew up in Austria, in Russian-occupied Austria, actually during the Second World War.
Which is where, by the way, Arnold Schwarzenegger came from.
Just to mention that. He would not be the historic figure I'd be seeking.
No.
But she watched this type of stuff roll in, lays it out item for item for item, and she is qualified to make that statement. So for all those of you that were going to cap on Brian and Mark there in their little tete-a-tete, you can just hold it until June.
I like that tete-a-tete. Very
tete-a-tete.
Nice.
Isn't that lovely?
That just rolled. You sound like
somebody with 94 teeth in their mouth?
Yeah, what's the guy? Thurston?
Oh, Thurston Hell the Third.
Thurston Hell the Third from...
Would make you lovey.
Yeah.
Well, you know, actually, we had Kitty on Sovereign Minds months and months ago, and that's where I was getting a lot of that information from. That's exactly what she said, and she lays it out in no uncertain terms how they did it. She was there, so you got to give that some credence.
Who knows better what we're facing than people that have already lived through it in another country? I mean, come on.
I mean, there's a reason that this keeps coming up. There's a reason that this is eerily similar.
Mm-hmm.
Folks that have been there recognize it, and they just
play by the same playbook. No, you can't create anything new. You just play history over and over again. That's why you need to know it.
Hey, Mark, do you know when Kitty was on? Do you have an approximation?
I'm going to say May. I'm going to say January, I think, maybe.
This year?
Yeah.
Okay. So for people that are going, what? I want to hear it. Okay. You can go to the KCNR website, go to Sovereign Minds, which airs 8 to 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Mark, that you're listening to on here, is the host of that program. And if you scroll back into their archives, first part of the year, Kitty Werthman is her name. She was fantastico.
Hey, we're going to KCNR1460.com is the site.
I didn't want to give the site because I knew I was getting it wrong. Oh, here, it's right on the wall right there. It's looking, staring me right in the face. KCNR1460.com. Thank you, Bob. That's why we have Bob. Bob's got all the buttons over there. Bob knows the website.
I'm your detail guy.
What about Bob, huh? All right, take a quick break. Thank the advertisers, and then we'll come back and sign off with you here on the second hour of We the People Radio. Oh, yes, we love this song. You're listening to 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Time is really wasted. There's no guarantee. Smiling in the making. We gotta fight the powers that be. Got so many forces. They've got it all. They got the bluff on a lot of folks. But listen, I ain't one. From now on, I'm keeping my pay. Ain't gonna deduct none. So erase my name from your records. Take me off your mailing list. You can write me off, cause I ain't giving a dime to the IRS.
Well, if that didn't curl your hair, I don't know what would. Hey, welcome back to We the People Radio.
Who was
and
that?
Before we... Oh.
That was the late Johnny Paycheck.
Oh, nice. Oh, so this has been a problem for
That's
a while.
That's ironic, Johnny Paycheck singing about the IRS.
That's great.
I like that.
I love irony.
You might know him better for Take This Job and Shove It.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He really had attitude. Must have been his
didn't
name.
Didn't he?
That's awesome.
He was awesome. Hey, so in the Reading area tomorrow, and I'm certain that these will probably be going on everywhere across the country, we will be protesting the IRS.
Bingo!
And you can join us with flags.
That is Tuesday, right?
Yes, that is Tuesday, May 21st, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., corner of Cypress and Hilltop. And honestly, folks, it's actually more fun than you would think. We go out with signs, we go out with flags, but we chat and we meet new people, and we always have a great time. It's
I actually had a dream about possible signage.
Yeah, so
we need some good signs
about
the IRS.
Even if you were not a conservative group that was attempting to get a nonprofit status, and you just don't like the IRS, come out and join us.
Yeah,
you may
why
as well
not?
Have fun. You will be in good company with like-minded people.
Yeah, it's a good unifier.
Yeah,
And all over. I mean, it's a nationwide protest of the IRS. Actually,
oh, it is. Okay, so Tuesday, May 21st, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Cypress and Hilltop in Reading.
A lot of them are going to be at noon. You'll see that some places. They'll be at noon at their IRS offices.
Mm.
But Sally, Rally Sally, in her infinite wisdom, who arranges rallies, decided that where our IRS office is too obscure.
Yeah, so we're going to do it right.
Obscure protests.
We will be standing on the busiest four corner intersection. In
right.
town.
And it's fun, too. And you were right here, Black Bear Diner, and you know, could scurry over for a snack.
Yeah, it is fun, actually.
That's just good for everybody.
And so super between, nice people.
I thought staging a sit-in at the IRS would be the thing.
their office is pretty small, isn't it?
Yeah, they're kind of obscure.
You just get like three big people to go do the sit-in, we'll be done with it.
Yeah,
huh?
Pretty much. Well, and in all honesty, the folks, you know, the folks that, for instance, are sitting in the IRS office in Redding, California, are good people. And they're not to blame for what
they didn't.
And there's no reason to take anything out on them.
No, they probably want to sneak to the protest too, which is cool. We're totally cool with that.
Sure.
And I don't know who we have at the Reading Tea Party tomorrow night. I think it's the lady from the ACLU.
Oh, okay. Could be. We're talking about drones.
We will confirm that.
And I call
Sorry,
in every Monday.
Dummy, but
and I call in every forgot. Monday morning at 8:05.
Oh yeah, good thing. Listen
that I've
to
been,
the station
that I've
tomorrow
been
morning
at 8:05, and I've been doing that for 3 years. And I'll let you know what we're doing tomorrow night.
Do a little recon and get that squirt
and
away.
And I do want to say, despite the the downtrodden, you know, I guess the downtrodden spirits of all of our folks after the 2012 elections. We have come back bigger and stronger than ever. I kid you not, every Monday night when I drive into that parking lot and I cannot find a parking place, it just blows my mind. We're 4 years going strong.
You should get there early like I do.
Mm-hmm. What would you say? Kidding. We had maybe 300 people there for Chris Ann Hall last week?
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy 300 people.
It was one of the biggest crowds they ever had.
They bought all her books. Hey, poor Sally. She is the coordinator, obviously. We're just the dopey announcers. She said that they're also going to be protesting at Cypress and Hilltop from 10 to 12.
Okay, so twice.
Yeah, so Tuesday, you have your choice of times, 10 to 12 or 4 to 6.
And if you do 4 to 6, we can scoot across the road and have something to eat at Black Bear Diner.
It's a day-night doubleheader.
Uh-huh. Oh, wait, she means July 8th.
Oh,
what the hell. Okay, I want to change my answer. Tuesday, I'm positive. I'm going to just tell you what I'm positive about. Tuesday, I'm positive we are protesting the IRS on the corners of Cypress and Hilltop.
Okay.
From 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. That's what I'm positive about. I'm going to stop reading the random messages on the crazy chat room.
And Mark, do you want to wrap up this conversation with any thoughts before we
Mark.
Before we wrap up the show? You got about a minute and a half.
Sing it, sister.
I was having fun listening to you guys.
Oh, why do I read the chat room for information? What the heck? That's not an information source.
Well, what the wrap up on the IRS thing is that the lawsuit will be going forward, and there will, and then we'll go from there, and we'll have periodic updates on it and how it's going. The cases are being prepared. I'm not sure how many at this point in time are being prepared. And one thing that you should mention too is that, did you notice that we made the I think you posted that, Elizabeth.
I did.
We actually made the news in England.
Yes.
For
anybody that doesn't believe that this was happening, there is an actual photograph of the letter from the IRS to PACON, which is Patriots Educating Concerned Americans Now.
That's
And that made the daily news in the United Kingdom.
Bingo. Pierce Morgan
can
go back and
You're awesome. You rock.
Thanks, Marco Polo. All right, team. Protesting the IRS Tuesday. Remember, 4 to 6 and possibly 10 to 12. I have 10 to 12 at Hilltop. Bob, you've been masterful as always. Chris Ann Hall, who's long gone. Thank her. It's a great show. WeThePeopleRadio.us. You can follow the whole thing.
Right. Chris Ann was awesome this morning, as always. And she will be back later this year for a 5-hour constitutional course.
Check.
We'll give you details as they become available. KCNR, Shasta, Reading.